Today's shiur is Daf Kuf Mem Dalad, and we're going to begin on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, about 9-10 lines from the bottom. But before we begin, let's do two things. First, let's review the last piece of Gemara that we learned yesterday, and then we'll say introduction to today's shiur. Yesterday, the Mishnah taught us a machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, if juice oozed out of fruit, if you could drink that juice or not. And according to where we left the Gemara, we limited the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim to the following. Everybody agrees that juice that oozes out of zeisim v'anavim, olives and grapes, is osur. Everybody agrees that juice that oozes out of other fruits is mutter. The machlokes is tusim v'rimonim, mulberries and pomegranates, where Rabbi Yehuda said that if you designated them for drinking, to give juice, or stam, that you didn't specifically designate it for anything, then the juice that comes out is osur. But if you designated them for eating, the juice that would come out of them is mutter. And the Chachamim don't make any differentiation. They say that lahalacha tusim v'rimonim are the same as all other fruits, as zeisim v'anavim, and any juice that comes out of them is mutter. That was the last Gemara that we learned yesterday. It's interesting. The Chazon Ish makes an interesting observation. He makes it as an observation. The way we've been learning, whether we learned the Mishnah or we learned the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda is the Mekel, and the Chacham the Machmirim. But the Chazon Ish says perhaps we could find a Kula in the Chachamim versus Rabbi Yehuda. What's going to be the Kula? What's going to be the Halacha according to Rabbi Yehuda by Shar Peiris, not Tusim Remoinim, not Zeisim Novim? What's going to be the Halacha? So ostensibly, Rabbi Yehuda really said it in the Mishnah, it matters what they're designated for. If they're designated for drinking, it'll be Osir. If they're designated for eating, it'll be mutter. The Chacham didn't make any such differentiation. We never see the Chacham differentiate between what the designation is. They speak about specific types of fruit. So could be by Shar Peiris, the Chacham will be more makel than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda will say, by other fruits, if you designated them for juice, it'll be also to drink the juice that comes out by itself. And the Chacham will hold that it's mutter, because once they're not Zeisim Anovim, Tusim Remoinim, it's always mutter. So he says, perhaps we found a Kula. But now, let's focus on today's shiur. So Yehuda, as we said, holds that by Tusim Remoinim Stam, with no specific designation, the halacha is that we assume that it's like juice. And the juice that comes out from that is awesome. So the Gemara is going to quote now a Mishnah Masechta Machshirin. And after we learn the Mishnah, we'll have a question on what we just said. We learned many times that for a food to become susceptible to be kabel tuma, mukhshla kabel tuma, it has to become wet with one of the shevim mashkin, dam, mayim, cholov, etc. But we also learned many times that in the Torah, when it says that din, it says ki yutan mayim al zera. Ki yutan means that you expressly put the liquid on the food would you wanted it to get wet. On the other hand, that's the way the pasuk is read, the kri. The ksiv is ki yitan, as long as it's put down. Yutan means anyway, and yitan means it's done with intent. So now what's the halach? Does it have to have intent or not? So we learned that you don't have to expressly do it, but you have to be satisfied. You have to be satisfied with the fact that this food got wet. Then that food becomes mukhshal kabbal tuma, it becomes susceptible to kabbalah's tuma. Says the Mishnah, begins the Gemara, v'savar b'Yehuda, does Rabbi Yehuda really hold the stam osur, that even though you didn't designate the tusim remoinim for juice, we say stam that it has a din like fruit that's used for juice, but not. Cholav isha, milk from a woman, metam l'rotzen v'shloy l'rotzen. Even though we just finished saying that liquid is not machsher unless this rotzoi, that you want that, you're satisfied. The Mishnah says that the Tanakam and the Chacham hold that milk is an exception to the rule. There, even Shloy L'Rotzen, it's machsher. Chol behema, but regular animal milk, there the halacha will be like by all other beverages, Einam etam el l'rotzen. There has to be satisfaction. Amar Bekiva. Bekiva disagrees. And he says, a very good svara. Kava chaymuhu. Omach chol av isha. If you look at the two types of milk, mother's milk, cow's milk. Which milk is more milk? Cow's milk. Everybody drinks cow's milk. Mother's milk is only drunk by babies. So he says, Rabbi Kiva, Omach chol av isha. She'enim yuchar el l'ktanim. Which is only used by babies. You're telling me, says Rabbi Kiva, matam l'rotzim, shoy l'rotzim. It makes no difference if there's satisfaction. Chol mechema. So cow's milk. Shemiyucha bein l'ktanim bein l'gdolim. Everybody drinks milk. And it didn't. Shiatam bein l'rotzim, bein shoy l'rotzim. Therefore, Rabbi Kiva says that by both types of milk, human milk and animal milk, the halach is that you don't have to have rotzim. Amrloi. So how did Chacham respond to Rabbi Kiva? And they say like this. Im tamei cholav ish shloy l'rotzen. You know why we say the Chacham to Bekiva that human milk is metame shloy l'rotzen? Because we find a very interesting phenomenon by humans. The halacha is, there's a pasuk that says, v'dam chalolim yishta, the blood of the slain can be drunk, yishta. From there we see that dam is one of the beverages. Now dam, how does dam come out of a person? It could come out because the person was actually chalolim, he was slain, he was killed. Or, not dafka that he was killed, Baruch Hashem, but he got a wound. Now, blood, by definition, can never be l'rotzen. Nobody wants to get a wound, nobody wants to get killed. So we know that by blood, say the Chacham to Rabbi Kiva, there's no requirement for rotzen. That's avis. Oh, we're going to get to that. But the pasuk uses the word chalolim. And chalolim means that when you slayed him is never l'rotzen. So we see that by dam there's no requirement for rotzen. That's obvious. Now let's go a step further. What is chalof? This is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. What is human milk? So the Gemara says it many times in Masechet Nida. Dam nekar v'nasa chalof. That human milk is really blood that decomposes into milk. So if we're saying now that by dam there's no requirement for rotzen, then there's no requirement for rotzen by milk. Shadam megefasun tamei. Since the blood is tamei both l'rotzen and shloy l'rotzen, that's why the milk is. Yit mechol of a behema, shloy l'rotzen. But you can't say that by milk of an animal. You know why? Because this din, that blood is machshir, is only on human blood. Animal blood is not machshir. Animal blood is only machshir. Shadam megefasa tar. It's never machshir. Only blood of an animal that's machshir is when you shech the animal and the blood comes out from the shechita. So therefore, you don't have this, and that's l'rotzen. So what the Gemara is saying in one sentence is that milk is connected to dam. Human milk, where there's no human dam, where there's no din of rotzen. So we go a step further and say there's no din of rotzen on the human milk. Animal dam, where there is a din of rotzen. So there's a requirement for rotzen, but animal milk too. So that's how the Chacham responds to Bekiva. Amla machmani b'chol b'madam. So Bekiva responds to the Chacham, no, I'm more machman chol b'dam. She'chol l'rafua tamei. V'amekez l'rafua tar. He says like this. So this is what the Mefarshim explained to Bekiva. Rabbi Kiva says to the Chacham like this. I already told you why I hold what I hold. I already told you that I hold that animal milk should certainly not be less than human milk. Why? Because animal milk is drunk by everyone. You didn't want to agree to me. What did you want to say? You wanted to connect dam to chalav. So he says it's not true. You can't connect animal blood to animal milk. Why can't you connect the two? Because animal dam, let's say somebody's going to make a wound, make his dam. He makes a wound in an animal in order to let dam, because as we said so many times, that's the way they did most of their medicine. Will that dam be machshir? The halacha is it won't be machshir. Because the only dam that's machshir is dam shechita. It doesn't make a difference if there was rotzen. However, if you let out milk, l'rotzen, there will be metama. It will be machshir. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, cholov should be, cholov of a behema should be different than the dam of a behema. Dam of a behema, there's takadin, it's only dam shchita, rotzen doesn't make a difference. Cholov, which we know is more chumridig, will also have to not require rotzen. Amlem, machmani b'chol b'dam, I'm more stringent on animal milk than on animal dam. Shachoy l'refuah, if you go and you express milk from animal because you need that milk for medicine, tamei, that milk will be real rotzen. V'amekez l'refuah, even if you let the blood out specifically on purpose, it won't make a difference. It's not dam magefa of a human, or it's not dam shchita. So that's why Rabbi Kiva says, I'm still right. Amrlo, it's not a chum tal Rabbi Kiva. Sali seisim anov michichu. What's going to be the halacha if you have a basket of olive and grapes? Shamashkin hayotzim al rotzen, juice that oozes out of the grapes or the olives. If there's lerotzen tameim, then they will be machsha. Shloi rotzen tahirim. So what do we see from here? What are Chum really saying to Akiva? It's really what we said at the beginning of the year. There's always a requirement for rotzen. By every beverage, there's a requirement for rotzen. Don't tell me there's no requirement for rotzen. The only exception is human milk. But what does it say here? That when is the juice that comes out of grapes and olives machsha? When is it considered a juice? When there's rotzen. Now, says the Gemara, what's the definition of rotzen? My lav l'rotzen, the nichle. Shloi l'rotzen, what's the definition of shloi l'rotzen? B'stama. What is the Gemara saying? That stoma, it's not considered juice. What did Rabbi Yehuda say at the beginning of this year? That stoma is considered juice. That's our kasha. And the Gemara goes a step further. Where did the Gemara say that stoma is considered rotzen? They said it by tusim v'remainim. So now, if you have, everybody agrees that the highest level of juice, as we're going to be learning for the next couple of blot, is zeisim v'anovim. If by zeisim v'anovim, asked the Gemara, we're saying that stam is considered shloi l'rotzen, certainly by tusim v'remainim, we should say that stam is considered shloi l'rotzen. Yet Rabbi Yehuda said that by tusim v'remainim, I said stam is l'rotzen. Uma zeisim v'anovim, the b'nei schitin ninu, that they're the prototype of something that could be squeezed. Still, shloi l'rotzen v'loi klom, stam was saying is nothing. Tusim v'remainim, which is a step less than zeisim v'anovim, the labnei schitin ninu, loy koshkein, loy l'rotzen. That's the Gemara's question. And the truth is, Rashi says, the Gemara could have asked a different question. The Gemara could have said, a question, Zeisim v'anovim on Zeisim v'anovim. By Zeisim v'anovim, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that stoma is certainly considered l'rotzen. How would Rabbi Yehuda say it? If he says it by Tusim Remainim, he certainly says it by Zeisim v'anovim. And here the Mishnah is telling us, Zeisim v'anovim, stoma is shloi l'rotzen. So we could add a stira, Zeisim v'anovim versus Zeisim v'anovim, which would have been a great kasha, Rashi says. But the Gemara wanted to make the kasha stronger. And by saying the kasha from Zeisim v'anovim, which we know is the biggest madrega of something which could be squeezed, and then we take a step down and say to Tusim v'remainim, we make the question sharper. But it could have been a good question. Says the Gemara, loy, we defined it wrong. L'rotzen doesn't mean, what do you call it? L'rotzen doesn't mean, shloi l'rotzen doesn't mean stoma. L'rotzen is stoma. Stoma is considered l'rotzen. What's shloi l'rotzen? Not stoma. Shloi l'rotzen is the goli adati that he explicitly said, d'amalai nichalei. But stoma will have a din like rotzen. So now the two things jive. Both of them hold. Both the Gemara we had yesterday and this Mishnah both say that stom has a din of the rotzen. That's one teretz. V'bay sema, the Gemara gives you another teretz. Shani sali zeisim v'anovim, kiven de l'ibud kaimi mikarif gur mafkalohu. So the way to explain this teretz is like this. It matters what you put the fruit into. If you put the zeisim v'anovim into a wicker basket, which has holes, so there I say, stomach, you don't want the juice, because the juice is just going to leak out of the holes. And that's why we say, stomach shloi l'rotzen. The Gemara that we started with, tusim v'remainim, they didn't put them into wicker baskets. They put them into a seal basket, into a metal basket. In a metal basket, the juice doesn't get lost. There I say, stomach, I want to save the juice. So what will come out? Then enochanami, if you put zaysim v'anovim not into a wicker basket, you put it into a sealed basket, into a metal basket, for example, there halacha will be, that stam is l'rotzen. The Mishnah is talking about that you put it into a wicker basket, there I say, stam, you assume that's going to get lost. That's why it's shalai l'rotzen. Now let's go a step further. Yesterday and today, we said that everybody was compromising. Rabbi Yehuda agreed to the Chachamim by Zeisim V'Anovim. But we said that Rabbanan agreed to Rabbi Yehuda by Shar Peiris. That by Shar Peiris the halacha will be, we learned, that the Chachamim will agree, by Shar Peiris, that the juice that comes out, by itself at least at this point, is mutter. That we haven't found any, we didn't find anybody that says that. We didn't find a Bryce or a Mishnah that says that. So that's a very strong statement without any basis. And now the Gemara is going to look for a Makar for that statement. Says the Gemara, Ashkechon, we have now identified with the Bryce that's at the bottom of Kuf Mem Gimel Mem Beis, that Rabbi Yehuda the Moedel Rabbanon, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbanon b'Zeisim v'Anovim, that any juice that oozes out of Zeisim v'Anovim is Osir. Matter of what. However, this statement that we made, that Rabbanan the Moedelei Rabbi Yehuda, that the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda, b'shapeiris, that if the juice oozes out by itself, it's mutter, menolim. From where do we say it? Said the Mordetanyim, Tanyam, because it's a braisa. The braisa says, soichtem b'pagayim, you're allowed to squeeze, pagayim is like prunes, prishin is quince, or b'azardim is like a sour apple. Avaloi b'rimoinim, you're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates. V'shabes b'nash b'menachem, ha'yisach b'rimoinim. In Beis Menashe Ben Menachem, they did squeeze pomegranates. Now, let's understand this. First, we have to understand this brisa. When you learn this brisa, at first glance, very difficult brisa. The brisa tell us, here we're not talking about juice that oozed out by itself. It's not the subject of our Mishnah. It's much further. Soichtim. You're allowed to go squeeze it. How are you allowed to go squeeze something at Shabbos? How many times do we say that? Schita, dish is awesome. All of a sudden it says soichtim. How do we understand this brisa? The answer is that what is schita? The definition of schita is extracting juice from a food. Mashke mi'oichel. The Gemara, the Brice is telling us that the juice of these fruits, shar peiris, is not considered a mashke. It's not considered a juice. It's considered an oichel. If you take an oichel from an oichel, there's no problem of schita. So now let's take it a step further. If this Brice is telling us that you're allowed to specifically go and squeeze these fruits, certainly the juice that comes out by itself is mutter. So here we have a basis that something that comes out by itself is mutter. But there's only one question. That's very good if I know that the Tana of this price is the Rabbanan. But who says the Tana of the price is Rabbanan? Maybe the Tana of the price is Rabbi Yehuda. Ask the Gemara. Umay the Rabbanan hi. Who told you that this price is the Rabbanan? Dim Rabbi Yehuda hi. Maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda. So we don't have yet a proof that the Rabbanan agree. B'shar Peiris, says the Gemara, for the heavy number of Yehuda. Okay, let's go with you. You want to tell me it's Rabbi Yehuda? Let's figure it out. Aim with the Shamdler Rabbi Yehuda. If you're going to tell me it's Rabbi Yehuda only said his din, like I said a moment ago, what was the subject of our Mishnah? Where it came out by itself. Yotzum Atzman. When we learned Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, when we learned Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, he never told us, you're allowed to go do Schita. Yet here the Brisa, as we said, tells us you're allowed to do schita. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, how are you going to explain this Brisa? What must you say in explanation of this Brisa? Elamayis lachlamem, you have to give a pshat to this Brisa. You have to say, kiven de labnei schitininu, since these are fruits that were never used for juice, afil lachatchila you're allowed to squeeze them. And certainly if the juice came out by itself. Now that you're saying that these fruits are not b'nai schita, and that's why all hilchas schita don't apply, so then I don't have to limit it to Rabbi Yehuda. I feel time rebonin. Kivin de la b'nai schita nenu, since these fruits are not fruits that are normally squeezed, I feel a chatchila. Shema mina, rebonin hi shema mina. So now we have a proof that other fruits, not zeis v'anovim, tusim v'remoinim, yulado, squeeze, and certainly if the juice came out by itself, at least that's pshat at this point, certainly if the juice came out by itself, it's mutter. And that's why Rabbanan agreed to Rabbi Yehuda on other fruits. So says the Gemara. The Gemara continues analyzing this brisa. What it's saying this brisa? Shabbos Menashe Bar Menachem Ha'isarch Nibar Moinim. In the home of Menashe Bar Menachem, they used to squeeze pomegranates. Omer of Nachman. So Rav Nachman makes a statement. Halacha kishel b'neis b'nashe b'menachem. That's the halacha. So ask the Gemara. Omele Ravel Rav Nachman. B'mashe b'menachem tanuhu. You know, it's possible to say the halacha when somebody says a shita. Maybe somebody else disagrees. And I could tell you, we're passing like that shita. The Gemara didn't say that b'mashe b'menachem said any psak halacha. All the Gemara said was a fact. That in Mashem and Menachem's home, they drank pomegranate juice. Very good. So what does that have to do with anything? What's pshat that that's the halacha? And furthermore, even if you'll tell me that Menashe ben Menachem is telling us a halacha, the chitem of halacha, kaitan of the sovla kishal Menashe ben Menachem, that what the Gemara, what the Brice means to say is that since in Menashe ben Menachem's home, they squeezed pomegranates because they drank pomegranate juice, and that's why you're not allowed to squeeze pomegranate juice. Ask, and that's why, and the halach is like that. Halach k'moisoi. Ask the Gemara, Menashe ben Menachem have ruba de alma? Is Menashe ben Menachem the whole world? So in that family, they had some sort of a minig to drink pomegranate juice. Nobody else drinks pomegranate juice. So because you have one family that drinks it, that becomes something that's used for squeezing. Says the Gemara. In. We do find such a concept. The Tanan, Hamakayim Koitzim Bekerim. The halacha is, we all know, that you're not allowed to plant klayim. What does klayim mean? Klayim means that you're not allowed to, in your vineyard, we're talking with the raisa, you're not allowed to bring in a different species. So what's the halacha, says this Mishnah, it's Mishnah Masechta Klayim, if you bring thorns, koitzim, thistles, into a vineyard. Rabbi Elazar Mekiddush. Rabbi Elazar said that's called klayim. The reason the Gemara uses the Lashon Kiddush because that's the Pasuk says that klayim is called kiddush, separate. You're not allowed to use it. The Chomer ain't a Mekiddush, that wouldn't be klayim. Ela Shadava Shekamayim Mekayim. The only time it's considered klayim if it's something that people use. But nobody wants thorns. All you want to do is get rid of them. Vomer Abinach Rav Chanina. So now the Gemara asked, my time to Rabbi Elazar. What's the reason for Rabbi Elazar? She came by Arvi Mekayimim Koitzei Sodus Legamalayim. Because in Arvi, in the Arab countries, they had a lot of camels. And why was the feed that they gave animals? Thorns. Animals like to eat thorns. So then thorns is a min. So what do we see from here? That if there's in one place somebody doing something, even though the rest of the world doesn't do it, that's enough to be considered something chashev. Taking that to our Gemara, the same thing about the pomegranates. If there's one place like Menashe ben Menachem that they drink pomegranate juice, that's enough to be considered a juice. So there's two questions that Tosfos asks. The first question that Tosfos asks is, how do you bring a proof? Don't we taka always say butler? The first question Tosfos asks is, don't we always say butler dietel etzel kaladam? That we follow, if you remember, we learned the Gemara. The Gemara spoke about people who carry things on their head. And the halacha was, that's not called carrying. Ask the Gemara in a specific place, the women carry the loads on their head. So Gemara says, batla daitel etzel kol adam. Doesn't count. So we say the same thing here? Yes, in Arabia they have a lot of camels. Yes, in Arabia they carry things on their head. Yes, in Arabia they want thorns, but the rest of the world doesn't want it. So why don't we say batla daitel etzel kol adam? So Mepharshim say a beautiful teretz. They say like this. Anybody could carry something on the head if they wanted to. Why don't we carry things on the head? Because it's not the normal way of carrying. So if somebody does carry it, batla daitel etzel kol adam. Why don't we use thorns? It's not because there's anything wrong with thorns, because we don't have camels. If we would have camels, then we would also use them. And that's why the Gemara, that's why we don't say batla daitel etzel kol adam according to Rabbi Elazar. But then Tosfos asks another question. Tosfos asks, who's the Gemara proving from? The Gemara is proving from Rabbi Elazar. But the Chacham disagreed on Rabbi Elazar. So why do you bring me a proof from Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar argues with the Chacham. So one teretz the Mepharshim give is that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar. In this case, even though Rabbi Lezer is arguing with the Chachamim, the halacha is like Rabbi Lezer. That's one mahalach. But the Tosfos Emes says another pshat, and that pshat really is in the Bir Halacha too. The Tosfos Emes says that when the Chachamim are disagreeing with Rabbi Lezer, they're only disagreeing in a Bidiyevit situation. Now that we have the thorns in the vineyard, do you have to throw out everything? Chachamim say Bidiyevit, you don't have to throw it out. But the Chachamim agree that L'chatchila you shouldn't plant thorns in your vineyard. So since the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Lezer L'chatchila, so the question isn't only from Rabbi Lezer, the question is even from the Chachamim. And that's why it's very interesting. When you look in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch discusses Schita, and the Shulchan Aruch says that something that nobody uses for juice, you don't have to worry about Schita. Says the Shulchan Aruch, that's if nobody uses it. But if somebody uses it, you have to worry. The Rama says, no, that's not true. We have to look at what most people do. The fact that you'll find one person that uses it, doesn't count. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah. Usually we pass like the Rama. Mishnah Berurah passes like the Shulchan Aruch. So he explains in the Bi'al Lacha why. Because he's saying everybody agrees with Rebbe Lezer that as long as you have somebody that does it, l'chatchil it counts. Because the Chacham agree with Rebbe Lezer l'chatchil. This is Asemis Zvart. It's interesting. And this is one of the few places where the Chazon Ish is more makel than Mishnah Berurah. The Chazon Ish passes like the Rama. Ask the Gemara. So while we're comparing, we're seeing that one family counts. Ask the Gemara, Midi Irya. The Avya, Asra. Avya is a city. Yes, it's maybe only one city. Maybe it's only one country. But here we're not talking about even a country. We're talking about one family. Hachla Batl Daitzel Kad, it's a Kaladam. So we're back to where we started. Good, you have this one family that squeezes. Do they count? Says the Gemara, El Hainatam Rav Chizda. This is the reason for Rav Chizda. Dam Rav Chizda, Tad Nish Sachta Venosma Mikvah, Paislan Samikvah Bishinimara. So let's explain the Gemara outside and then we'll do it inside. This is the way Rashi and Tosfos explain the Gemara. The Gemara is retreating from what we said on top of the Amid. Sorry, I have to take away the cooler. The Gemara holds now that if you ever squeeze a fruit because you want the juice, it's usher. Even if nobody in the world wants that juice, drinks that juice. Why? If you want the juice, you are machshavit, and once you're machshavit, it's juice. The only question is, if you squeeze the fruit, they used to squeeze fruit not for the juice. They squeezed the fruit to sweeten the fruit. If it had an excess juice in it, it had too much acid, and the fruit wasn't sweet. So they squeezed out some of the juice to take away some of the acidity. There, the Braisa tells us, it matters what the fruit is. If the fruit is Zaysim, Anovim, then it doesn't make a difference why you're squeezing them. It's always Asr. If it's one of the other fruits, and your kavanas only to sweeten, not for the juice, then it's Mutter. But if you want the juice, even though you're the only person in the whole wide world that wants this juice, your Menashe is the only person in the world that drinks pomegranate juice, but you want the juice, then Schita will be Asr. Where do we see the concept that even though something's really not a juice, but if to you it's considered a juice, then it's a juice? So the Gemara brings a raya from Mishnah Masechet Mikvos. The Mishnah Masechet Mikvos, it's actually in Perek Zayin Masechet Mikvos, that's the Perek that people learn when they have Yahrzeit, says the following halacha. The halacha is that one halacha is we know the Mayim Shuvim, drawn water, Kepasel Mikvah. We're not going to talk about that halacha now. There's another halacha, Shinui Mariv, that if you put water, if you change the color of a mikvah is clear water, you put into it a juice, something that's not even a juice, but you put into it something with a color, and now the mikvah isn't clear, that mikvah is pasul. The Mishnah says, Ella Hainatam Mikrav Chizda, Dam Rav Chizda, Tadin Shesachtim, if you squeeze beets, Venosma Mikvah, and then you pour that juice or that beet water into the mikvah, Paisan Sam Mikvah B'shinimara. Now, and that mikvah gets discolored, that it'll be a red color, and now the mikvah gets a red color, it's pasul. Now the question is, nobody drinks beet juice. Who drinks beet juice? It's even less than pomegranate juice. So why are they passing the mikvah? What must you say? Kiven de'achshvinu, if you want this beet juice, for whatever reason you may have l'mashka. It becomes a mashka. Hachinami, back to our Gemara. If you squeezed one of the other fruits, including pomegranates, but you want pomegranate juice, for whatever reason you want it, kiven de'achshvinu, have l'mashka. So the only time it's going to be mutter, let's just review, is going to be if it's one of the sharpeiris, and you did not squeeze it l'shem mashka. But if it's zaysim v'anovim, it'll always be aser. Tusim v'remoinim, we're learning Chazal made gzeira that tusim v'remoinim have the same din as zaysim v'anovim. And sharpeiris, if you're squeezing them for mashka, even if you're the only person that will ever use that mashka, it's going to be considered. It's going to be considered a mashka. If you squeeze it because you want to be mematic the peiris, you want to sweeten the fruit, and then it'll be mutter. There's one shaila. This din that shinui mariv passels a mikvah. Why is that a din midoraisa or is it a gzeira d'rabbanan? Where will there be a nafkamina lahalocha? First of all, there'll be a nafkamina if it's a pasul mikvah midoraisa midrabbanan. There's another nafkamina. A mikvah could lose it, could get a shini marav for one of two reasons. It could get a shini marav because you poured into it, like we learned, beet juice or anything else. It could also have a shini marav because it gets dirty. If you're going to say that shini marav is a din d'oraisa, that if the mikvah isn't clear, it's possible, so it doesn't make a difference how it got not clear, whether because you poured something in or if it got naturally discolored. If it's a special gzeir, the chazal don't want you to pour something that's not clear in it, then it'll only be if it got possible because you poured into it, not if it got discolored by itself. Rapapa says it's a different reason. Rapapa doesn't agree with Rav Chisda. He says, you know why the mikveh that got discolored is possible? It's a whole different reason. It's a material that you're not allowed to make a mikveh. You can't make a mikveh out of beet water. Anything that you can't make a mikveh out of, so it's nothing to do with chshivas. It's a separate din in Hilchas Makfos. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hosam. We learned in the Mishnah, Nosan Nafel Taychay. If into a mikveh fell yain wine, a chaimitz is vinegar or meichel. Meichel. Let's explain meichel. Meichel is when you make. When you make olive oil, in their world, the way olive oil was made was you took a bunch of olives and you put them together. So water, oil water, we're going to use that terminology, which is what meichel means. The meichel can happen in one of three ways, Rashi explains. The first way you could have meichel is if the heat of all the olives next to each other make that some water should come out of the olives. That's one type of meichel. Another type of meichel is when you have one olive, all the olives pressing on top of each other makes that oil water should come out. And a third type of meichel is after you have the olive oil and you have that mass of pulp left, that also could express water. That's called meichel. Now, it says in the Mishnah, Masechet Makfos, Tanan Hosam, if wine or chaimitz or vinegar or meichel, v'shina marav, and it changes the marav of the mikvah pasul. Now we're calling meichel a mashka. Ask the Gemara, man tana the meichel mashka who? Who's the tana that says that meichel is considered a mashka? Says the Gemara, Omer Abaya, Rabbi Yaakov. It goes according to Rabbi Yaakov. The tanya, Rabbi Yaakov, Omer meichel harei kamashka. Meichel has the status of mashka. Why, if so, that meichel is considered a mashka? Why isn't it machsh something like kabel tuma? We started today's shir saying that olive oil is one of the beverages that's machsher. So why isn't meichel machsher? You don't really want the meichel. You'd rather have olive oil. You'd not have meichel. Rav Shimon Oimer, Rav Shimon disagrees. He says, Meichel ain't a kamashka. Umatam, if so, it's not a mashka, asks the Gemara to Rav Shimon, Umatam Meichel ayotzim ikal beis abad, tamei. Why is it tamei? Why is it machsher if it's not considered a mashka, it's impossible that you shouldn't have some real olive oil left in it. So that's why the meichel has olive oil. So it's machshin, not because of the meichel part, because the meichel, the olive water part, isn't really olive oil, and you don't want it. It's just the olive oil that's mixed into it. Ask them, Ramai Benayu, what's going to be the nafkamim between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon? They're both agreeing that the meichel is machshir. They just get there in different directions. Answer the Gemara, Ik v'nai d'issabas itzata. The meichel that comes just because of the heat. If you tell me because you pressed the olives, and the olives gave out oil, so now you have real olive oil mixed in there, and that's why everybody will agree you have oil, olive oil, and it's machshir. Rav Shimon said because Meichel is a mashka. Rav Yaakov said because Meichel is a mashka. And Rav Shimon because he holds that there's olive oil mixed in. But the Meichel that comes at the beginning, there's no olive oil mixed into it. We just said it's the heat that makes some water come out. According to Rav Yaakov, that will be a mashka. According to Rav Shimon, that will not be a mashka. Now, Tosfos asks, if Rav Shimon agrees that the meichel that comes at the end, because it has olive oil in it, is considered a mashka. So now Tosfos asks the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Man tana the meichel mashka hu." The Gemara says, "Amar Abaye Rav Yaakov hu." Why are you limiting yourself to Rav Yaakov? You could have even said Rav Shimon. And we're talking at the end with his olive oil mixed in. So Tosfos says, "When the Mishnah uses the word meichel, it must mean meichel at the beginning, because when there's olive oil in it, you don't call it meichel; you call it shemen." That's the Gemara. Rav Shimon, Rav says, that's one reason why it passes. Rav Amar says a whole different reason. You can't make a mikveh out of meichel, and that's what Rav Papa told us before. Anything that you can't make a mikveh out of, the halacha is that you can't use for a mikveh. Now, I want to just end the shiur with a very interesting comment. Because people have asked the Shaila in generations, we don't really know that much Hilchos Mikvos. Once upon a time, you couldn't be a Rav without knowing Hilchos Mikvos. Rashi says, Rapapa, we learned it twice in this Amid, that the only thing that, there are only certain items that, anything that you can't use to make a mikveh with, will passel a mikveh. So Rashi identifies what you can make a mikveh out of. Rashi says, the last narrow line, Kol davar she'ein oseh mikveh, she'ein mayim, a sheleg, a borod. So Rashi says, what could you make a mikveh out of? Not just water. Sheleg is snow, and borod is hail. So now we have a mikveh that's just snow. Could you use it for a mikveh? Could you go into a mikveh that's just snow? So you look, what?
Before it melts.
Before it melts. Once it melts, it's no shaila. But you have just, you needed a mikveh, you brought snow, you got snow in there, and you want to go into it. First of all, there's a practical problem. It's hard to go into snow. What do you call it? You have the shear. What do you call it?
Cool.
You'll pack it up. You'll pack up a lot of snow. You have enough snow. You bring it's plenty of snow. So that question is, could you go into mikveh that's just snow and toivel yourself that way? So be'emes, it's a big machloikus apayskim. If the Ramah says l'chatchilu, you should not go into a mikveh that's just snow. You can make a mikveh out of snow, but theoretically you should let it melt.
Safe for borrowed,
obviously. Now the question is going to be like this. You have to go to the mikveh, and it didn't melt. So what should you do? So Chassam Sofer says, he has an eitzah for you. Bring a hot piece of metal, put it on top of the snow, and that'll melt your snow. And you can go to the mikveh right away. We're talking a person who can't wait for it to melt. Or maybe it's cold, it won't melt.
Shabbos.
If you go to the mikveh on Shabbos. The Paiskim disagree with the Chassam Sofer. They say that if you take metal and you melt the snow, then you're turning the snow into Mayim Shuvim. And that's why it's better to go into the snow, even though there's a chassam with the snow also, the Ramah says, but at least it wasn't touched by human, versus when you smelt it with a hot metal.
So